Buju and hello. Welcome to Northern Voices, celebrating ties to Minnesota's Northland. I'm Leo Lem, your host and fellow Northlands explorer. So, in the past months, we've all gone through many shifts in our daily routines, if not major lifelong shifts. One of my smaller yet significant changes is that I cook at home so much more. We've been getting takeout to help support our small businesses, of course, but the casual sudden stops to the coffee shops and the restaurants have faded away. And it's given me some time to think and to reflect on how convenient life has become. All right, I remember growing up and using a wet soapy dishcloth to wash down kitchen surfaces, and then we'd reuse it, wash it, you know, throw it into the laundry and use it another day. But slowly over time, I've switched to paper towels. Like, we never used paper towels a couple decades ago, or disinfecting wipes. And as those more convenient items were made available, I tended to use them more. And I didn't have to reuse them or wash them or fold them or store them. Just wipe down what you needed to wipe down and then throw them away. Boom, forgotten, easy. But then the world shifted. As wipes and paper products were slowly diminished from the shelves at stores, I'm reminded as to how dependent on those conveniences we've, well, at least I have become. And as I thought, oh my gosh, what are we gonna do? How am I gonna clean? I remembered those simpler times, even just from the 90s. So I leave those paper items on the shelves for those who need them more, and I have switched us back to good old washcloths with soap and water, or maybe a vinegar and water solution if necessary. When we're faced with global shifts and disruptions, it'll be our communities and our homes that we lean on. And as a frequent visitor to social media, admittedly, and especially these days, I see so many people planting more at home, cooking more at home, and doing those do-it-yourself projects, and so much more, and so many of those things that bring us closer to the essentials for daily living. I've spoken before on Northern Voices about the Indigenous Farming Conference in Callaway, Minnesota, which is hosted by the White Earth Land Recovery Project, and about how inspiring and hopeful it is to see innovators from Northern Minnesota and across the country working hard to ensure sustainable practices are always a part of their work.
Sure. Yeah. You can sit out here.
Today at the conference, before stay at home, before social distancing, I meet up with John Schimmick from 8th Fire Solar. John is giving a presentation on what 8th Fire Solar does.
We do solar thermal panel manufacturing up in Ponsford Village. It's about 20 minutes away from here. You know, off and on throughout the years, you know, some experience with, well, you know, all forms of renewable energy.
And as the company name suggests, 8th Fire Solar works on solar energy options for businesses and residences in the form of solar thermal panels.
My name's John Schimmick, and I'm with 8th Fire Solar.
And the first thing I noticed about John was actually his shirt. He had a few adorable animals on it.
Does your shirt have any?
Oh, those are my pets.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is Chiba. This is Stash. And that's Kitty. Yeah.
As John said, 8th Fire Solar does the manufacturing, the servicing, and installation. So the solar thermal panels are not your photovoltaic panels that you might see using the sun's energy to generate power. The thermal panels are used like a furnace, but let the sun heat the air that's then circulated through your home.
From your house through the solar collector and heated with the sun through the back of the absorber plate, and then forced back into the house with the blower fan and controlled basically like a person would control their furnace with a little thermostat dial.
Right. And this can lead to big energy cost savings from something so simple. It looks like a big screen TV mounted to the side of a house. And John also mentions that it plays a cultural role. The name Eighth Fire represents that.
Well, you know, the name itself, Eighth Fire Solar, it's a small part of one of the most important stories in Ojibwe history, or even the history of mankind. And just the teachings, you know, even for renewable energy, are in our stories going all the way back to our creation story, our very first teaching. So the cultural relevance was there then, and it is still today, in my opinion. Definitely.
And right now, according to the Ojibwe prophecies, we're living in the time of the seventh fire, and using renewable energies or first energies is a part of creating a path to a good future. And there's a good feeling that comes with that.
You know, the sustainability part of it, it's the emotional and spiritual, you know, satisfaction that I get out of it, knowing that I'm doing what I can to contribute. And, you know, the empowerment of, you know, making this technology accessible to, you know, the people that we do. You know, and with all the ugliness going on, you know, these days, to get with something that is positive, you know. And I mean, not only positive, but also an alternative to what's going on. I mean, that just, I love that element of it. Mm-hmm.
And according to John, they're moving in the right direction.
So, you know, a little bit of the history and background on it. You know, in 2004, we began installing solar-powered furnaces with this group called the Renewable Energy Alliance in Pine River. Also an honorable mention to White Earth Land Recovery Project, who co-hosted and co-developed, you know, a lot of the trainings and installations. And we were putting this technology, these solar thermal collectors, on low-income homes on this reservoir, you know, well, actually regionally, on the different reservations in northern Minnesota. We have quite a few different installations.
You know, some of the low-income homes that we've installed systems on before, they would have the energy companies calling them, you know, a year or two later, like, what's going on over there? I mean, are you guys freezing to death or something? Like, you're not using nearly the amount of heat that you guys used before. So it's definitely more measurable than, you know, like when we, you know, what we tell people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the goals, you know, a few of them would be this technology, making renewable energy accessible to people of all income levels, and we feel that these are the most practical and cost-effective and accessible form of renewable energy on the market today compared to other forms of renewable energy with solar, photovoltaic, wind, hydro, geothermal, and whatnot.
Do you use one? Do you have one?
Yeah. I have a couple of them on my house over by Rat Lake. It's actually the first year that I've had it. Yeah, we actually just put them on, you know, at the beginning of the season. That's what's keeping the house warm now.
Yeah, and have you seen a difference with, like, energy consumption overall or bills or anything like that? Or
Definitely it has gone down. You know, the propane tank is still on its fill from last year. So, yeah.
Miigwech John Shimmick for talking about solar thermal panels with me and how the technology is helping out in communities. I'm Leah Lem. Thank you for joining me for Northern Voices. Northern Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota. Musical Flourishes brought to you by Sam Miltich. Thank you to team member Aaron Warhol for the extra listening and guidance. Gigawabamin, and see you soon.